Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
Hey everyone, this is BT and welcome to Inside the Episode. Today we're going inside episode 134, Is Your Purpose a Puzzle? How you doing, David?
I'm doing great, T. How you doing?
I'm doing great. So yeah, this particular episode, really powerful, a lot of metaphorical work around the puzzle that is our life, but as it pertains to our purpose, and this is something that we've all dealt with at some point in our life, and we deal with a lot of it in our own company with people who are constantly asking the question, you know, what is my purpose? So,
right.
You know, that you mentioned in the episode, there's a reason that you're here, and there's a desire that stirs from within each and every one of us. And you talked about creating our lives either through a conscious thought or unconsciously. Can you explore that a little deeper for our listeners who may be a little confused?
Yeah, well, I mean, Unless we're exposed to the idea that there's something beyond our physical senses, we're pretty much raised in a world that is dealing with the reality that we see as our life without any real awareness of how much control we actually have over it, and we have a significant amount of control over it, especially when it pertains to what, you know, we create our life to be. We have total control over that. And the idea for most people in one way or another that are raising their children and have done for generations is it's safety and survival. It's about staying safe and surviving. How do we survive in this community? How do we survive in the way that the world is right now? I mean, that's what we've been doing for, you know, since human beings took their first step. And it's not any different than any other animal on the planet. It's all about survival for them. I don't really think they think about safety as much, unless they're getting chased down by a tiger or some, you know, their predator prey thing. But it's really all about survival. And unless somebody says to us, there's a higher purpose here, you can really create your life the way that you want it to be. Now, I remember when I was a kid, it was a very common thing, and it still is, where adults are always asking kids, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to be when you grow up? And I think that there's this undue pressure that is put on children that they have to pick something, you know, right away. So what do they start looking for? They look through the classes that they're taking at school. They see what surrounds them as far as other people have jobs. And then if something catches their eye, they're either encouraged or discouraged by the people that are raising them. So if they're never taught to follow their own inner compass, you know, find out what it is and then follow that, they don't know. So they're going through life unconsciously. I mean, they're conscious about what they're doing, but they're really not conscious of the power that they really have and what they're actually put here to do.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I was, as you were going through that, talking about unconsciously choosing your path in life, I thought back to the reason I chose to become a teacher. It wasn't because I felt drawn to it. I didn't feel it was my purpose to go and work with young kids. I loved it once I started that path, but it was more safety. It was because, oh, you're a male, you can get a job as an elementary school teacher. You won't have to worry about student loan debt because you'll have a job right out of school. So I chose unconsciously my purpose to become a teacher. Now, yeah, like I said, when I was there, it was great, but it wasn't a full use of what my gifts were in that moment. And having now been out of the classroom for 11 years, I can now see that there was power in that choice, but there was also something more that churned inside of me that allowed me to step into what I'm doing today.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
But it's interesting that you brought that up, because I can see in my own mind, yeah, that was an unconscious choice on my part.
And I don't, people do not understand the struggle that people go through. I mean, I wanted more than anything to find my purpose, but when I realized along the way, and of course, like when I said in the lesson that, you start to become aware and develop understandings as you actually begin to move into it and through it that you didn't have prior, which is hard for people to grasp because they want to know everything first before they make a decision, right? Before they engage that ability to choose. And that's not how this works. The way it works is that you have to get everything, begin to get everything out of your life that contradicts your purpose. So you don't know what your purpose is, right? But you have to start working on things that contradict it. Well, what contradicts it? Safety-minded thinking, lack thinking, other people that are opposing that you're searching for who you really are, what you want in your life. If we're making, you know, like if you go to the Christian Bible in the Ten Commandments, one of the commandments is thou shalt not put any other gods before me, right? I think that's how it's written. What that actually means is that you're going to take your direction from the idea of divine within yourself, not from do I have the money or not? Do I have the approval of my parents or not? Do I have the approval of my teachers or not? Do I have the approval of society or not? You're going to follow that inner direction that is telling you which way to go. And when you do that, when you make the decision to do that, you're really kind of tested there because that's when things start to change in a person's life that would indicate that they're going in a wrong direction, but their subconscious mind tries to pull them off. It's like anything that I teach around goals. The moment a person sets a goal, something they've never accomplished before, and they start to go after it, all hell starts to break loose in their life because their subconscious mind's going, wait, we don't know what the outcome is. We, you know, stop, slow down, turn around, that type of thing. It's the same way with your purpose. It really requires that you want it more than anything.
Right. And you don't stop until you have it.
You don't stop.
Yeah. It's so true. It's just interesting. And I see this show up in, I'll use my kids as an example. You know, Steph and I have come to a place where we're not going to repeat old patterns that were given to us as children. And maybe our parents set us on a path that maybe was against what our purpose may have been. But with our kids, they can do whatever they want as far as what they choose as a career path. If they want to be, you know, an artist, a musician, if they want to go into the corporate world, whatever they want to do, they can do. But they have to realize that there's going to be some work and there's going to be some probably struggle that goes with that. But we're not going to influence them to, you know, go into this business or that business. I think that's a pretty powerful thing when you're talking about your purpose.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's great because they start to get to know themselves and they start to get empowered in making choices, right? So they learn the cause and effect of their choices and they begin to own that. And I think that those are first steps that a person has to become acquainted with before they get into the place that is their purpose.
Yeah. And I know that there's a lot of people out there that are miserable in doing what they're doing, but maybe it's because that's what they were told to do or they were expected to do. And now they say, well, I've been in the career for 15 years. I'm too far gone. I'm just going to stick it out for the next 15 or 20 years and just be miserable for every one of them. And that is totally counterproductive to what you're here to do, which is to fulfill that purpose that's inside
right,
of you.
Right.
Yeah. That's amazing. And so
it doesn't come fully completed either, you know,
right.
Like it's like the jigsaw puzzle. The intention is in the idea that's in the box, but you've got to put it together, you know,
yeah.
And then it becomes the picture. So as you start to become aware of your purpose, the desire of that begins to allow you to create an image on your mind of whatever your purpose is. And again, this is where I don't want it to be, it can be a little confusing. It's generally not fully formed, that image. It is just usually the first thing. But you feel drawn to it like no other thing in your life. And when people are saying, you know, they always tell me like, I'm not sure. If you're not sure, it's because you're holding on to something that contradicts your purpose, period.
Sure.
That's what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, in the episode, you stress there's a little piece of ignorance that keeps us from our purpose. And you had mentioned that we are controlled by choice. Everything we do is the result of the choices that we make in our life.
Yeah.
And that through accepting 100% responsibility, we can see the power in making our life whatever it is that we want. The tough piece for most people here, I would assume, is that 100% responsibility piece. Because when things are going great, oh yeah, I'll own it. It's all on me.
Yeah, yeah.
But when things, when the shit hits the fan, when things go haywire, when things go south, we don't want to accept 100% responsibility. That's tough, right?
Yeah, it's one of the hardest things for people to do. We're raised in a society that breeds victimization and entitlement. And if a kid is not raised right from the get-go with 100% responsibility, at some point in their life they have to learn it. And it's uncomfortable because blaming other people feeds our ego in the idea that, oh, there's nothing wrong with me. I didn't do that. It's not my fault. It's somebody else's fault. So they get to live in the pristine lie. And as long as a person continues to do that, they never develop. So when a person, so let's say the person switches, they go from blaming, they go from victimizing, and they're going to accept 100% responsibility. When they first start doing this, it hurts. It's uncomfortable because they're challenging the part of them that is not, that feels unworthy, unlovable, that like they're damaged, like something's wrong with them. And it's an awareness that starts to change in a person where they realize that because they made a mistake or they did something wrong is no reflection of who they really are. It's just a reflection of where they were in that moment in time. It's like a report card. When you get a report card from a kid, it doesn't tell you where they are now. It tells you where they were 6 weeks ago, right? Where they were in their head, where they were in their life, how they showed up for that work or that test or whatever. Most parents and teachers don't realize the first thing that they should do with a kid when they first start school for the year is give them a blank report card and ask them to fill it out the way that they would want it to be if they were to receive it today. And then that creates the expectation of what the child's going to do for the rest of the quarter, right? If they do that, you're burning that image of expectation that they're going to get A's on the report card. And then they will start to expect that from themselves as they go through the class. That's the whole reason that we set a goal. We should write a goal and look at a goal as it's fully fulfilled, right? If we start taking pieces away and going, maybe later, maybe when we get here, maybe we get there, you have to create your life as if it was happening right now. But most people don't want to put their butt on the line to do that. So that's where the responsibility piece comes in. If you can really accept that and make that a real strength inside of yourself, there's nothing you can't accomplish because you're not afraid to fail.
Right. Yeah. And I think the interesting part about all of this is that the results you're experiencing right now, today, as you listen to this, are a direct result of what you were doing a few months back.
Yes.
So if you say, well, I'm not getting the results, well, start today and think about where you're at, writing it down, where you're at now, and then put into plan in motion the things that are going to get you what your goals are. Then go back and revisit it 2 months from today and you'll be like, oh, that's where the switch came from.
Right.
I love that. And I love the report card piece. Why I never thought of that when I was in the classroom is beyond me. That is freaking genius because it does set the expectation and it provides a visual. If a kid's writes down all C's, then you say to yourself, well, that's what they want to get. That's what they're striving for. And oh, here they have all C's or a D. Okay, well, that's what they wanted to get. There's nothing wrong with that.
And how many times, like you and I have had this conversation, Steph, too, how many times do you get a kid that says that they're all C's or they're all D's or what, you know, they're in that edge, right? They're floating in that edge. And then the teacher labels them with that expectation for the rest of their fucking life. It carries on from one grade to another. Right. Teachers pass it on to one teacher from another. Oh, this kid's a disruptor. This kid is a pain in the ass. You know, watch out for little Charlie or little Mary or whatever. You know, they're a shit disturber. And then that's the expectation that the authority around them is holding for them. That's an energetic thing that the kid picks up on. They react to it, and that's what they do.
100%. And it just flickered a memory in my mind where I used to hate the teacher in-service days before school would start, where, you know, you would come up and someone would say, oh yeah, you got to keep your eye on this kid. He's just a handful. Or you got to, and I would really set a boundary and be like, you know what? They're a year older, a year wiser. I'll handle them how I'm going to handle them. And I would take like the toughest of the tough kids that were struggling mightily in fourth grade. And then when they got to fifth grade, they'd get a little bit of discipline. They'd get a little bit of leeway to be creative. And then by the end of the year, they would come through that. And actually, I bumped into one of those kids several years back who was going through high school, was going to graduate and go on to college, and nobody in his family had ever done that. But had I listened to that person who had pigeonholed that kid into thinking that they were less than, never would have got there.
No.
God, it's horrible how we do that. And I'm so glad I'm able to pull that up in my memory. That's super cool. So what about, when did you realize what your purpose was? I think the people would like to hear, you know, can you take us back to that time in your life and how you began to fulfill that desire within you that was sort of churning and ready to unleash?
Well, the desire first showed up as an intense desire to study. And I went 7 years down that road. And as I started to get closer to when this needed to be birthed in my own life, it was like my subconscious mind was talking to me, and I would wake up every morning at 2:20 in the morning and say, if you want to live your dream, you have to leave. So my subconscious mind, I wanted it so bad that I was missing it because I didn't realize it was me holding on to a job that was keeping me from stepping into what my purpose was. So that took me a while to get clarity around, but once I got clarity around it, I left the job and stepped right into it and never turned back. And that was the moment right there. It was that whole year that I went through, like, is this really it? And then I let go of the job and stepped into it.
Yeah, perfect. You said in the episode, your purpose is waiting for you to make the choice to receive it. You talked about choice at the beginning of this inside the episode and how a lot of people don't want to do that because it puts you at risk. What do you say to those people who say they don't know their purpose, or they may say, what if I think I know my purpose, but it's really not my purpose? What do you say to those people?
So those are all indications that something else, it's like I said in the episode, it says, thou shalt not put any other gods before me. They're allowing something else to control their thinking. Their purpose is in them. They're just not consciously aware of it. There's no reason to be consciously aware of it until you engage in the absolute decision that you're going to go after it, which is engaging your choice. And that's what it requires. I mean, flat out, that's what it requires. So the idea is that you have to want it bad enough. You can't want two things that contradict each other in the same space. It doesn't work. But that's what they're experiencing.
Yeah, and it's not, I'm assuming it's not just the choice. They have to put the committed action behind the choice.
They do.
Yeah, like a lot of people think, well, I made the choice to come and work with you, David, and now I'm just going to sit back and wait for people to come knock on my door and want to work with me.
Yeah.
Doesn't work that way.
No, doesn't work that way.
Committed action.
Yeah, and I think what they're actually looking for is the certainty that they're making the right decision. So it's afraid to fail. It's afraid to be embarrassed. It's afraid to fail to do the wrong thing. And very often, we do the wrong thing. Like, we think this might be it. There were a couple times where things showed up in my life that I thought might be it. And I started to go down those roads. And as I explored them, I realized it wasn't it. But those things were actually bringing me closer because they unveiled other things that were part of my purpose. That's how I met my mentor, was actually by making a slightly wrong turn. You know, I got involved with another business, and he was teaching people that were in that company, and I got exposed to him that way. So I thought that other company, that other business that I was involved in, might actually be it at the time, and it wasn't it. It was just something that was leading me toward where I was going. So you could look back and you could say, was that a failure, or was that actually the right mistake that you needed to make to become more aware and to be introduced to this person? And I choose the latter. It's the, you know, I mean, there, in the overall scheme of things, there are no mistakes.
100%. Yeah, I totally agree with that. And that's, you know, something that I used to reiterate in one of the quotes, and I'll probably butcher it in this moment, is all about perspective and how you look at things. You know, they can be stumbling blocks or they can be stepping stones. It's really dependent on how you look at it. You chose to look at, many on the outside would have considered a failure, you chose to look at it as a learning opportunity and realizing that businesses succeed when they fail. It sounds strange to hear it out loud, but it's 100% true. You've gone through, even on this podcast, about many people throughout history who are really big in business circles that if you go back and look, they probably failed more than they've succeeded. Yeah. But in each failure, they learn something about themselves and what they could do differently next time.
Absolutely.
Because they make the change.
100%.
That's so great. Well, you closed out this episode with the quote, the two most important days in your life are the day you are born and the day you find out why. And we found out that that was from Mark Twain, who wrote that quote. Can you just share one more time how powerful those words are when it comes to claiming our purpose?
Yeah. So, you know, the thing is that there's nothing that isn't birthed into the physical reality that doesn't have a purpose. But because human beings have a choice, they don't realize that they have to gauge choice in order to receive it. It's 100% required. It doesn't just get thrust upon you. And what's important about that is that it's almost like a second birth. You literally move to a totally different state of consciousness than almost anybody else is around you, because most of the world is going through the world unconscious. So you start to become aware of your godlike power. Like, I mean, it's written, we are gods, right? You become aware of that power as you start to step into your purpose and you start to unfold it, because it requires that you're using all of the other faculties that we were given divinely or by the universe that nobody else is using in their life. They're not using them for anything, so they don't develop them to a high standard. So what does that allow a person to do? It allows them to create their life the way they want. They can manifest whatever it is that they need. They know that there are no absolutes as far as like, oh, here's the circumstance, I'm stuck with this for the rest of my life. So they get the money they need, they find the resources they need, they heal their body, like all kinds of things that other people would be like, that's miraculous. How is that even possible? You become aware that that's everyday life. That's just reality. You're in that place.
Right. And once you do it one time, you can do it over and over and over
and over and over.
Yeah. I love this. I love this entire conversation. We could go on for days just talking about it. But we know that there's people out there that are struggling with finding their purpose. It is our intent here at the Successful Mind Podcast and learning from David that hopefully you will find out what your purpose is. And remember, you got to make that choice to follow it and pursue it before all those opportunities are going to show up.
So I think, they really need to do the exercise with the jigsaw puzzle. Get that damn jigsaw puzzle and put it on a table. Put it all the pieces out on a table, don't put it together, and leave it there for a month. And every time you walk back, it remind yourself, I have the ability to create that into a beautiful picture. I could leave it into a pile of chaos if I want. But it won't ever change until I engage my choice to do so. And our life is the same way.
100%. The metaphor of the puzzle, it's a powerful way to walk off with this one. Thanks so much, David.
You got it.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.